Herbert W. Armstrong's worldwide humanitarian and evangelistic work impacted millions. After his death, the work stopped until God started a new church to continue his legacy. Learn how God raised the ruins of this mighty work through a faith-filled remnant. Understand the vital spiritual lessons we can learn from this history next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. In recent months, we've been looking back on the history of God's church and God's work, and we've also been pointing to a number of very significant milestones and anniversaries. One of them is happening on this weekend, December 7th. It was back in 1989. That's the day that the Philadelphia Church of God began. And on that date, it wasn't a committee meeting or a corporate filing that founded this church. It was actually a firing. That was the day my father was fired. And what he was fired from and who he was fired by and why leads directly to where we are today. This is a story that revolves around the Bible and the truths of the Bible as taught by Herbert W. Armstrong. And you've heard a lot about him on this program over the years. It's a bold statement to say that Mr. Armstrong was a key figure who was described in the Bible, that he actually fulfilled the role of the end-time Elijah that Jesus Christ prophesied would come, that he restored the truths of the Bible that Christianity had lost, that his life and his death was a turning point in the history of the true church of the world even. But those things are all true, and you can prove that from your own Bible, from Christ's own words. Now, Mr. Armstrong didn't start out to be a teacher of the Bible or even a particularly devout Christian. His autobiography relates how he was much more interested in business and advertising. But then his wife began keeping the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, and that angered him. He actually set out to prove it wrong, but he ended up proving it right. He didn't realize it, but God was drafting him to prove the truths of the Bible taught by Christ, not just for himself, but for the true church of God. Mr. Armstrong went on to take these truths into publications and onto the airwaves, starting in the tiniest ways that you could imagine. But over 57 years of his ministry, through the rest of his life, the message he brought grew and grew like you couldn't believe. You could say it was a lot like the growth of the early church just after Christ's death and resurrection. Today, we still get people all the time, even though he died 40 years ago, saying, "I recognize Herbert Armstrong, I recognize that man. I recognize his voice. I remember him on the World Tomorrow program." Mr. Armstrong did not teach popular Christian doctrines, yet millions of people listened and read, and tens of thousands were called into God's true church. Mr. Armstrong even went to world leaders with a Bible-based message about world conflict and peace. He was meeting presidents, prime ministers, legislators, judges, business elites, all kinds of people all over the world. And a lot of them compared him to something like the United States Secretary of State. Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist of his day and one of the most prominent religious figures of the 20th century, watched, read, followed by millions of people worldwide. When he died in 1986, President Ronald Reagan said, "Mr. Armstrong contributed to sharing the word of the Lord with his community and with people throughout the nation. You can take pride in his legacy." That was from President Reagan in the 1980s. And I can tell you that we do take pride in that legacy. In fact, it serves as a model for what we do here in Edmond and around the world, not because of a personality, but because God used Mr. Armstrong, just as Jesus Christ said he would use someone to restore all things to the church and to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God as a warning and a witness to all nations. Mr. Armstrong, as I said, died in 1986. And this is where we start the chain reaction to December 7th, 1989. The Worldwide Church of God had new leaders after Mr. Armstrong's death. And to make a terribly heart-wrenching story short, they deceitfully undermined and then outright rejected those restored truths. The shocking thing is that almost everyone in God's church went right along with it, continuing to believe those truths that God had restored through Mr. Armstrong, through this end-time Elijah figure, suddenly became strange or unpopular. They were attacked, those doctrines, those truths. But God did not die. God did not disappear. He was looking for someone to carry on that same work, preserve and teach those same doctrines, do the same work. My father responded to that call. He refused to turn away from the truth. He refused to give in. He fought for the truth. The leaders of the Worldwide Church of God eventually summoned my father to their headquarters in California. Again, this was in December of 1989. And these corrupt ministers, they knew that my father was holding fast to the truths that Mr. Armstrong taught. And when he arrived for that meeting on December 7, 1989, the Laodicean ministers, I mean, it was immediately clear that they would not repent of their rebellion against God. And it was also clear that my father was not about to compromise with God's truth. So the Laodicean ministers, they fired my father on the spot. They excommunicated him from the church. And that's how it all began for the Philadelphia Church of God. It was incorporated as a church a few weeks later. But the true Church of God is a spiritual organism. And December 7th, 1989, was a dramatic spiritual founding. The Philadelphia Church of God quickly started growing from impossibly tiny beginnings to dozens, to hundreds, eventually to thousands. And we warned the people in the Worldwide Church of God. We warned them about what was happening to them, about how they were getting lukewarm, Laodicean. They were being lulled and deceived and intimidated into evil. If you fast forward a few years to 1997, my father decided to print Mystery of the Ages, this book right here. We're just passing the 40-year anniversary of Mystery of the Ages, by the way. Herbert Armstrong handed this out in the last year of his ministry, the last year of his life. And we started printing this in 1997 because the Worldwide Church of God discontinued this book, got rid of it, wanted to keep it out of circulation. I mean, they buried the truth. They literally trashed the truth in Mystery of the Ages. They prohibited ministers and members from using these works. So you can imagine what it was like in those Pasadena offices when they heard that the small Philadelphia Church of God, this little church in the middle of Oklahoma, was now printing Mystery of the Ages. They took us to court right away. They said they controlled the copyright and that they could use the copyright to keep this truth out of print. That was their argument from the beginning. And we fought a 6-year legal battle for the right to make that material freely available again to anyone who wanted it. It was a grueling struggle, a fight for the truth. And it's been that way for God's church from the beginning. We write about that history in one of our booklets, The True History of God's True Church. And you can see it in the New Testament. What Paul had to confront, or John, or James, or Jude, all of these faithful men of God who had to confront a Laodicean-like rebellion in their time. And you can see that same fight for the truth raging through the centuries. And it happened here in our time, in the last days. I happened to be involved in that litigation for 6 years. I was there for so many of the depositions, so many of the hearings. And I'll tell you, just from my personal experience, it was a fight. It was a spiritual battle as well as a legal one. We've written extensively about this battle in another book that we're going to spotlight on today's show. And this one's titled Raising the Ruins. Raising the Ruins. It's the reason this book is so helpful for those that might be unfamiliar with this history is you can obviously read about the six-year struggle to print Mystery of the Ages, to fight for the truth, to raise those ruins, everything that the Laodiceans had ruined spiritually, even physically. But you hear a lot too, or read a lot about the rebellion that was prophesied, by the way. A great falling away. Paul wrote about this in 2 Thessalonians 2. You can see about the Laodiceans in Revelation 3. God characterized them as lukewarm, spiritually lukewarm, rich and increased with physical goods. But you can also read about so much of the history of the Philadelphia Church of God. I've given you some of it here today. So you get a lot in just one book. And if you haven't requested this before, make sure that you call our operators today and request Raising the Ruins. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. It costs a fair bit of money to print this book and then to mail it out as well. And we fought, we paid millions, in fact, in fighting for it between 1997 and 2003. But in the end, we won. And we obtained not just Mystery of the Ages. We got the copyrights for 7 books by Herbert Armstrong, 11 booklets, and then also a 36-lesson Bible correspondence course. As I say, all of this we've been giving away for free. For years we've done this. We used every available resource that we had to fight for Mr. Armstrong's works in order to preserve, defend, and distribute what we believe to be God's truth. Along the way, we've been building up the facilities on these grounds in support of God's end time work. We purchased the 160-acre plot that we're on at the moment way back in the year 2000. So it's been 25 years. We opened the doors to our college on these grounds back in August of 2001. In his autobiography, by the way, Mr. Armstrong repeatedly said that the growth of the work directly paralleled the development of the college. And the same has been true with our work here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We've been raising the ruins, and I'll go to the scripture that says that in just a second. We've been raising the ruins, the truths of the Bible that had been cast down, but then even the physical aspects as well, following Mr. Armstrong's pattern, doing it like he did it, building like he built, whether you look at it spiritually or even physically. You come onto our headquarters campus, which we've tried to pattern, as I say, after the one that God built through Mr. Armstrong. And you're not just hearing a sermon or watching a video or reading a book. You're seeing a way of life. You're seeing God's way of life in action. It's actually being proved out in real life, in real time. 36 years on from December 7th, 1989. And we just have more growth in every direction, in every dimension. So now you see on our campus a huge warehouse facility built to house tens of thousands of copies of these books, Mystery of the Ages, Raising the Ruins, all the other literature, Mr. Armstrong's autobiography, The Incredible Human Potential, The Missing Dimension in Sex, all of these classic works that Mr. Armstrong used at the college and distributed to millions and millions of people. And then, of course, the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, we now call it, where you can get to know the Bible, where you can understand the Bible. And then added to all of this, I mean, you've got the dozens of books and booklets that my father has written over the past 36 years. And all of those works built on those same Bible truths from Mr. Armstrong, books like Malachi's Message, America Under Attack, and as I say, Raising the Ruins as well. Like Mr. Armstrong did for decades, we, for decades now as well, have been giving all of this material away for free. We don't charge anything or even suggest that you give a donation. This is a work of faith, and we just do it the way God established through Mr. Armstrong. We want to give you the truth. Notice Amos chapter 9. I'll just point you to the verses where it mentions Raising the Ruins, and that's how we got the title for this book right here, because that's what this work has been about from the beginning, raising up the ruins. It says in verse 11, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." Build it just like you did in the old days. That's a glorious history that we were a part of. And if some man comes along and ruins all of that, well, it takes someone with a fighting spirit to rise up and say, no, we're not gonna surrender to these evil forces. We're not gonna let you cast the truth to the ground. We're not gonna let you just blot it out. Verse 12, it says, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. My father has written before about this remnant, referring to the literature, Mystery of the Ages, those writings of Herbert Armstrong. We gained possession. In the end, we own them now, and we can give them away freely. Here's a quote from Raising the Ruins. It says, in Amos 9, God says, possessing those many books and booklets coincides directly with the work of raising the ruins that were built before Mr. Armstrong died. It says, of course, as with everything God builds through human beings, it started incredibly small. It was a mustard seed beginning. But look at how it's grown. And really, when you look at how few people we have that are actual members of the Philadelphia Church of God, the numbers still don't quite add up. I mean, there's a lot of people that receive our brochures, our magazines, that see our programs, that assume that, well, there's just tens of thousands of members in the Philadelphia Church of God. In fact, it's more like 4,000 or 5,000. Now, there are a lot of faithful co-workers that request our literature, and maybe they're not, you know, members of the church per se, but they're supporters. They make contributions. They follow our programs, and we have a lot of them. I mean, there's the Key of David, obviously, that's been on the air since 1993. Speaking of milestones or anniversaries, that was in January, I believe, of 1993. Back in 2015, we started a daily television program called The Trumpet Daily, and that plays live over our website, thetrumpet.com, and also at our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. It's every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. a lot of programs and publications and books that we've produced over the years. And if you've been following our websites or our shows, you know, we certainly appreciate that support. But we're just trying to help others that maybe aren't as familiar with all of the material we have to just make them more familiar with what God's church has been producing. Just coming back to this this prophecy, notice where raising the ruins leads to or where it extends. It says in verse 13, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes. Him that sows seed in the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." Verse 14 says, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof." This is obviously a millennial setting. The point being that this work, this end of the end time work of raising the ruins, of rebuilding everything that the Laodicean ministry destroyed, and they wanted to destroy it. But the work of rebuilding, that work God did through Mr. Armstrong, it's going to extend right into the world tomorrow. And Mystery of the Ages, as I said on a program a few weeks ago, it's going to be a number one textbook for Armstrong colleges to be raised up and built all over the earth. So it's such a hopeful, positive vision. It's such a wonderful work to support, and it's a light, it's a beacon that shines brightly in a very dark world. There's so many scriptures that talk about this present evil world, and I'm going to give a program on this later. But the way God describes this present world, it's not good. There's a lot of darkness. It says in John 3 that men love darkness. They rejected the light that was Jesus Christ. Well, the church of God has not rejected that light. And that's why the spiritual light illuminates so powerfully from this campus. Whether you're looking at the landscaping, whether you're looking at the buildings, whether you're looking at the warehouse where there's tens of thousands of copies of these books that we're promoting here today. I haven't even mentioned Malachi's message. If you already have Mystery of the Ages from the show we did a few weeks ago, but you don't have Raising the Ruins or Malachi's message, the reason why this one's so important is it's the very first thing that my father wrote that led to his firing in 1989. Those Laodicean ministers, they hated what was in this book because it was exposing them. And then Raising the Ruins exposes them even more. I mean, in looking back, because we got all those court documents during that 6 years of litigation. But I mean, this is based on Bible prophecy. The Laodicean rebellion, I mentioned Revelation 3, I mentioned 2 Thessalonians 2. This goes through the book of Malachi in the Bible, the Old Testament. And when people receive this, starting in January of 1990, they could finally come to understand why and how all of this was happening to God's church. How could there be such a great rebellion, a great falling away from the truth? It's all there. I mean, God told us. And you know what else? Those ministers, so many of them, before Mr. Armstrong died, they were out there sounding the alarm to the Worldwide Church of God for years, saying that, now keep in mind, the last days, I mean, the Laodicean era is coming. The lukewarm Christian era is coming. They were warning God's people. And then Herbert Armstrong dies, January of 1986. And a man of sin, as the Bible calls him, he comes along and says, we're just going to change everything and bury the truth. And it exposed how many people just didn't have the courage or the conviction to fight for the truth. Tens of thousands of people, my father has said, 95% of God's people became lukewarm Laodiceans. And the percentage was even worse among the ministers. 99% of the ministers in the worldwide Church of God, they rebelled against the truth. A great falling away, or as it should be worded, a great rebellion, because that's what it was. But God said, I'm going to raise the ruins right back up. As I said earlier, God lives. God didn't disappear the day Herbert Armstrong died. Far from it. He just simply went right to work through my father and what became the Philadelphia Church of God. And he raised those ruins right back to life. Make sure you call our operators today and request raising the ruins and also Malachi's message to God's church today. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us and hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our books, Raising the Ruins, Malachi's Message, and Mystery of the Ages. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.